Welcome to the Radical Global Marketing Podcast. In each episode, we go deep with the world's leading international marketers and discuss the ideas and processes that make their global marketing strategies a success. Let's get radical.
This episode is brought to you by Brandigo China. Brandigo's team of local and international marketing talent has been helping multinational brands achieve marketing success in China for almost two decades. To find out more about us and how they can help your brand meet your China business objectives, visit www.brandigochina.com or contact the Brandigo China team via email at hellochina@brandigo.com. Okay, today we're here with Sean O'Brien from Mott Corporation. Sean's a global leader and a strategic marketing and communications professional. He's an expert brand builder. He's a business driver and a visionary. He has decades of experience in both B2C and B2B with brands and teams. He's currently the global head of marketing and communication at Mott Corporation, a technology-driven precision filtration company where he leads the brand, product, and communication strategies for the organization. Previously, he was the head of marketing and communications for Stanley X, which is the innovation arm of Stanley Black & Decker. And he's also served as vice president and general manager at Honeywell and has held senior marketing positions at Converse, Wilson Sporting Goods, and New Balance, along with active volunteer and mentorship position. So, Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. It should be fun.
You've got so much experience, B2B, B2C, everything. That's really awesome. I'm sure everyone's going to be interested to hear more about that. Maybe you can start us off and just tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. I marketing is always been part of my, you know, experiences, whether it's, you know, in sales, product, coaching. I used to be a hockey coach for multiple years when I first in my career, nice. Which literally was one of my toughest jobs I've ever had. Anyway, we'll get into the marketing stuff. But I think the biggest thing is I spent a lot of time in sporting goods, and whether it was selling at retail, working for a retailer, to then shifting over to the manufacturing side and really building brands and working for brands like, you know, New Balance when it was a much smaller brand than it is now. But, you know, really kind of understanding what consumers need, what customers, and really kind of building those experience, becoming really good storyteller and evolving in a very quick and changing environment. I mean, the sneaker industry changes quarterly. And you
it's
have
tough.
To continually continually pump out, you know, new stories, new messaging from that perspective. But then I shifted over to the more B2B side and industrial side by going to work for Honeywell, which is obviously many people know as a large conglomerate, and they have lots of divisions and play in a lot of different markets. But the cool thing there is I went to work in PPE before anyone knew what PPE was.
So nice.
And really kind of building that story, whether it's protective equipment to safety footwear across many channels, different retailers to distributors to you name it. So we had a lot of different areas to go to. I mean, we sold B2C and B2B, and it was a pretty interactive, incredible experience. And I learned a tremendous amount there at Honeywell. I then moved over to Stanley Black & Decker, which was a nice blend of B2B and B2C as well. Really kind of working in the same thing. They had a lot of other divisions. I worked in healthcare for a little bit, security for a little bit. And then I moved over to the innovation group, which was an incredible group, had an incredible leader. And we got to work from everyone from startups to the product teams developing new technologies and really getting out there and telling the story about Stanley X and Stanley Black & Decker. And then under the radar company called Mott Corporation called me. And yeah. I went over there to kind of, a lot of people don't realize how impactful some of these very technical, precision-driven technology companies make an impact in amazing industries. So they brought me on board to kind of tell that story and get the word out there and get the name. And it's a global company. We have offices in Italy, a couple in the U.S. We do a lot of business in industries from green hydrogen production to healthcare to semiconductors, which is those three industries alone couldn't be any hotter right now. So it's an incredible area. And I've been there for the past 8 months now, and it's going incredibly well. And I'm having a ton of fun.
Do you feel, are you bringing some of that B2C kind of approach and sensibility to B2B? Is that part of what you do, Sean?
That really is. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I definitely bring a B2C mentality and storytelling to a B2B market. It's something that I'm super passionate about. You can probably tell I get a high level of energy and passion about things. And bringing that kind of level to B2B, and especially in industries that might be a little sleepier than other ones, that kind of, you know, not quite screaming from the rooftops, but bringing an elevated level. And I think that sets us apart from our competitors and really can make kind of a unique twist on it.
So in your current role, besides working on that messaging and those things, what other types of aspects are you working on? Are you working on multi-channel and...
Yeah. So several omni-channel, multi-channel approaches. We do a lot of live events. Live events are back. And so we're doing trade shows to customer events, to happy hours and things like that. And these are nice. Across the globe. We're doing a bunch in Europe in the next couple quarters. So we're doing a lot of that. We're also doing a lot of digital, whether it's account-based marketing to a lot of paid search, things like that. The other big initiative that we're doing is we're implementing a customer enablement platform, which is an interactive tool that really can showcase the breadth of all our technologies. Because when you can look at for example, a hydrogen factory, and we have several different applications that go into a hydrogen factory. So how do you show that to a potential customer, to investors, to you name it? And you can do that with an interactive 3D tool that you can zoom in, explode out, get information out that can roll across multiple platforms, from flat screens to iPads to PCs to you name it. So that's, I figure, one of the real things that we're going to launch in the next couple of months. It's going to make a huge impact.
That's great. I mean, I think sales enablement is one of the hot topics of, you know, getting marketing and sales kind of together on the same page. And how can marketing actually really support sales? And I think those sales enablement tools, like those digital platforms and stuff, are pretty cool. Would love to get a sneak peek of that sometime.
No problem.
In terms of ABM or account-based marketing, could you talk a little bit about that? I know a lot of our listeners, they're doing ABM or they're interested in ABM. Here in China, it's a massive challenge because the channels are all different. So people come to us and ask us to do ABM, and it's a bit hard here. It's kind of a blend with lead generation. Can you tell us a bit about what you guys do and what is account-based marketing in a nutshell?
So we sell and work with some of the biggest companies, you know, Fortune 100 companies in the globe right now. So, however, a lot of those, they're large companies with lots of employees. And so what happens is that we might be working with a senior project engineer or a process engineer in working on one project within this massive company. The issue is there might be someone in the company that has no idea who we even are. So what we're doing is really targeting and trying to tell our story within those companies. So we look at those Fortune 50 or 100 companies, and then how do we work with them through, you know, digital ads through LinkedIn or other, you know, try to some email marketing within those companies. Because once we try to tell our story out, then maybe there's some collaboration in there, because we have case studies that we've proven results within this company with a product that, you know, someone that's, you know, across the globe but has the same, you know, email address. It can really make an impact. So we're doing a lot of that because, I mean, we sell into, you know, a division of, you know, Intel or Samsung, but they're massive companies. So how do we target within existing companies? Then the other thing that we look at is there's a lot of process engineers out there or project managers. How do we target them in specific industries, from aerospace to semiconductor to oil and gas processing, things like that? So it's slow, but it really can make an impact, especially if you're referencing case studies that you have proven success within the companies in other divisions.
I see. How personalized do you get? I guess personalization is another big buzzword, but how personalized do you get within your ABM campaigns, and, you know, how granular do you get when you're targeting people?
I think the biggest thing that we're finding is we sell a very technical product. So we really need to, when we're targeting a specific, you know, process engineer, we have to be very specific and almost personal to a project that they're working. So we have to give them a very clear value prop that really says, hey, we can very clear message, we can save you 20% on this specific project, use our product. So that is a form of personalization because it personally impacts the project that they're working. So we get very detailed and very specific, which is kind of a shift for me because I was more bigger picture, but I'm really dialing it down and getting very detailed with the messaging that we're going here that can directly impact a project that they're working. So to your point, yes, personalization is key and it has to be very detailed. And you can't necessarily use AI to do that. So you have to be very personal to do that.
So if we're talking about AI and I have to jump on it, then what are you guys doing with AI? Anything that you're implementing or testing right now that you can talk about?
Okay. Yes. So I think it's really important that you need to rethink your strategy to incorporate AI in some way, because if you're not doing it, your competitors are, and you'll be at a competitive disadvantage very quickly. And now there's a great HBR, Harvard Business Review article about this, and they talk about levels and different companies that can incorporate certain levels from level one to level four. And we are currently, you know, implementing at level one solutions, but how do we potentially incorporate level two and level three into it? And it's incredibly important. We're looking at strategies to implement that. It is a key tool. It's not the end all be all kind of thing. It does help optimize. I don't have a massive team, but I have an average size team. It helps make my team more efficient and helps optimize things, but it's not a replacement. Just like I said before, we have to get very specific and detailed and technical. AI is not going to come. Okay. But it can look at, but we are, as we continue to evolve throughout the year, how do we kind of go to that next level to incorporate AI into it? Because it can be a powerful advantage if used in the right way. It will never replace true personalized content or detailed content, but I think it can bolster some of your efforts and initiatives.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. And you guys have so many products. I mean, I was on your website, so many different technologies. How do you get a handle on it? I mean, really, it's just so much. I mean, I know we're marketing guys. We're never going to be the experts and really, really deeply understand the technology, at least myself, speaking for myself, at least.
It's interesting you say that because, for example, I was at a specialty chemicals show down in Nashville this past week. I don't know a lot about specialty chemicals, but the way I learned, I threw myself right in the fire and I worked the booth for 2 days and learned from the engineers that were in the booth, learned from the salespeople in the room, and listened to conversations that they had with customers came up. That's how I learn. I'm an experiential learner. I like to involve myself in it. And then also I know how to pitch things and how to sell things. That's one of the key things that I pride myself on. So I listen to all the different pitches and how they approached it and their different techniques there. And then I was able to absorb, okay, I get this. So now going forward, some of the other shows or some of the other materials I'm developing, I know what potentially resonates because I saw how customers react to those pitches and also learn. Now, I'm not going to get so detailed into we have certain tolerances and temperature tolerances from there, but I understand what's the value prop, what's the key message the customer sees value to potentially purchase them. And I do that by going, working the floor, listening to the customer, and really understands all that.
That's great. Just get into it. I mean, we also have clients that are in specialty chemical also.
Yeah.
You know, and the team's like, well, we don't know anything about it. I'm like, just get into it. You know, you'll learn. Just keep reading the stuff. And
it is something. And I mean, I've been there 8 months. And yes, I don't know the detailed technical specifications for a purifier that goes into a semiconductor plant. But I'm getting and it can be a very technical, advanced product. But I can learn about it, understand it. And it just takes some time. But to your point, you just got to immerse yourself in these products. And I've come a long way from a sneaker. Let's put it that way.
And speaking of sneaker versus specialty chemicals, obviously there's differences with B2C and B2B marketing. You know, B2B, we have very long lead times and multiple people making decisions, while B2C might just be an impulse purchase. But do you think from the marketing standpoint, is it massively different or is it all just, you know, parts of the same kind of thing?
No, it's definitely different. The buying cycle is much longer on the B2B side, and it can vary by industry. You know, when someone's buying, you know, building out a new chip plant, that takes years and years right before you can actually sell into a product, versus if someone's buying a consumer product, it's instantaneous. so you can see a direct result of your efforts that turn into revenue. So it's a much longer life cycle or sales cycle. to realize that. So it is, but it can vary. I mean, some of these can be 3 months, some of these can be 2 years, some can be 4 years. And it might scale accordingly. I mean, we build a lot of prototypes. We sell that service to build out prototypes and solutions to test different things in environments. That one of our biggest things is we solve problems. Engineers come to us daily. Hey, I can't solve this. Can you help? We deploy our engineers into that solution and we build a prototype. Then we start to commercialize and scale it from there. So it's a very different cycle, I guess I would say. And it takes a little learning. I mean, it's not something you can't make the jump immediately from B to C to B to B and like, I got this. It takes some learning and experience and understanding what this is all about. And I learned that at Stanley, at Honeywell, and applying a lot of that to modern.
Awesome. That's truly interesting. Thinking about kind of going back to the messaging and how you guys deal with that, and in your international markets, what are some of the things there? How do you adjust those things for international markets or the channels, and how do you deal with the marketing across borders, so to speak?
Sure. So the first thing you have to do is realize the United States is not the center of the universe. That's really important. And so I think the important thing is you got to really, and it goes back to my immersion into the product. You have to get on the ground in these markets or have people that are on the ground in those markets that understand the certain ways. I think one of the first things I did, I think I traveled for the first time in New Balance and went to Asia, and it opened my eyes because I'd never been outside of the U.S. So it was I really embraced it. I learned. I listened. You have to listen to the people that are in those markets. I mean, another great example. So we're going to Hanover Messe in April, massive show, and you probably. And I'm working with the German team here, and we're trying to organize a happy hour, and I'm like, can't call it happy hour because that's such a U.S. thing. So what are we calling this after show event? And so they worked us through that. We made sure that we had a U.S. invitation and a German invitation. You can't assume everyone speaks English. So you have to customize per market to whatever the needs, whatever the cultural differences within those markets. And that's something I learned pretty quick. And I do it, but if we go to a new region, I go there and make sure that I understand it or have people there that really understand those marketplaces. So I think that's a critical point to be truly a global marketer is to understand that. Ideally, you'd like to have people in every country that are managing it. That's not reasonable, but you have to be aware and pay attention and being very methodical.
That's interesting. Yeah. Have you had the chance to come out to China yet, Sean?
Yes, I've been to China multiple times. I spent lots of trips in the footwear industry first, and then a bunch with Honeywell as well. I never went with Stanley Black & Decker, but lots of trips, and we had facilities in Shanghai, Beijing, Hong Kong, and also inland as well. So multiple trips to China. So I do love it. I think it's a great place to visit and work. So it was a unique experience. I haven't been since, I guess, before COVID.
I hope we can get you out for a visit. That would be cool. So there are some good shows out here.
Okay.
Just to pivot a little bit and thinking about the future, what are your thoughts on where marketing's going in the future? We talked a little bit about AI already. Are there some other trends or things that you think are going to be important in the future of marketing?
Sure. You brought personalization, which is, yes, that's incredibly important. But I think it's really important to craft authentic stories. How you do that, because that's how it's going to differentiate from those companies that are pumping out stories based on AI or using AI to do that. And you have to really build that human connection. And then the other thing, which is you're seeing more and more trend, everyone's been pushing, you know, whether it's search, whether it's ABM, you also don't want to be too overbearing because you want these customers to allow to discover and make decisions on their own terms. So that's a little tricky. And that's where we bring in that interactive platform. That's a discovery platform. That's not something that you have to kind of walk someone through. They interact. They can go up to the touch screen and interact and explore and search where they want to search. It's something that you can push and then they can search on your website, things like that. They need to discover that. So I think that's really important that we can't hammer them over the head all the time. You have to allow these customers to actually discover a little bit. We already covered AI, so I understand that, but and it is important. You still need to incorporate that into your mix somehow or into your strategy, because otherwise you'll be at a competitive disadvantage.
Absolutely. I was just curious, is inbound and, you know, doing white papers to download, is that still an important part of B2B marketing these days? Because I find fewer people are talking about it, at least with those words, right?
Yes. It's interesting to say that because I think the days of having gated content like that are over. It's a lot of people are hesitant, like would rather just bounce, no pun intended, from your website and because it's gated and have to give their information. You're better off offering. And that goes back to my discovery comment. You're better offering, hey, they want it, let them have it. They discover it, they read about it, and then they might reach out from there. So they're discovering it on their own. You're not forcing the issue around that. Yes, we still do white paper. We actually have shifted more towards case studies than white papers because that is, people love testimonials. I mean, look at it. I mean, first thing you do when you go on Amazon, you read the testimonial review on a product. First thing you do.
So absolutely.
It's that's right. You want to see an example of your products that someone's used before or had a good experience with. So I think it's shifting way less from, that's why a lot of people are talking about case that white papers is more shifting towards case studies.
Yeah, interesting comment. That's really interesting. I think a lot of people will be interested to hear that. Sean, we just mentioned right before the call, we just both happened to be from Maine, which is hilarious, which is pretty cool. I ended up in Shanghai somehow, and you're not too far. You're in Connecticut in Boston areas.
Yeah, yep.
You've had a long career since, I guess, growing up in Maine. What are some of your proudest moments or a proud moment that you can mention?
Sure. I think the biggest, I have a couple. And one of them was when I was working at Honeywell, we had a brand called Extra Tough, which was a very commercial fishing brand, industrial safety footwear. Basically, all the fishermen on Deadliest Catch wear it, basically. And so it's awesome. a very, you know, industrial focused brand. And one of the things that I shifted, and it was born in Alaska, used in Alaska, kind of. And what I did is I was able to kind of take that brand and move it to more the recreational fishing and boating. Because basically my story and my message, hey, if it's good enough for commercial fishing in Alaska, it's good enough for you to go out in your boat and do some bass fishing. So I was able to shift this Extra Tough brand from a, you know, small niche commercial safety footwear brand into truly a more mainstream fishing brand. So I went from, you know, basic safety retailers and distributors to the Bass Pros, Dick's Sporting Goods, the West Marines, and really kind of expand that brand. So that was one. And then the other one, which it goes back to my coaching days when I coached at Boston University women's ice hockey, is at Stanley X, we interacted with a lot of startups, whether it's ones that we, Stanley Black & Decker, invested in, and then we managed them within the Stanley X umbrella. But what I got to do is really work with these startups and coach them and mentor them on key brand and marketing solutions and really kind of help them elevate, because they didn't have a marketing person. They just had, you know, founders and a couple of their coders or engineers that are working. So, hey, let's talk about how do we start elevating your brand and telling your story more effectively. That was one of my favorite things to do, is really working with those startups, mentoring them and coaching them on how to put a marketing strategy, things like that.
Those are fantastic accomplishments. That's really amazing, Sean. You talked about coaching, and I love that you were a coach for BU, for the hockey team. That's super cool. They're pretty good, I bet. I also saw that you're an active volunteer with TechStars, and you're providing guidance and support for early stage entrepreneurs. What's some advice that you could give either early stage entrepreneur or even a young marketer who's starting out? What are some things that you might tell them as a seasoned pro like yourself?
I think the biggest thing, and I learned this early on, is you have to learn what your customer or your consumer really wants and what they're looking for. You have to take your own opinion out of the mix. And that's not easy. And you might have a certain idea and, oh, I really like this. However, you have to make sure you identify who that potential person you're selling that product to, what are their likes, and then giving them a value that they're willing to pay. So you really got to get that right. That's critical, because otherwise you're not going to have a market. And I think that can go for everyone who's you know, a startup that's looking to try to build a brand, to young marketers that are trying to get into a particular area. When you go to a company, do your research, understand who their customers are, who their consumers are, and what is the value that the company's providing. And I mean, as usual, go, well, what are they willing to pay for? So it is a challenge. And then I've been kind of repetitive here. You got to immerse yourself in whatever market that they're participating in. You got to understand it. You got to know it. You have to experience and learn everything. I read a lot. I recommend you read everything, whether it's current events to, you know, really understanding. I dedicate almost an hour, and I get up early to read pretty much every publication I can get on, from, you know, the journal to industry publications, to really understand what's going on. And I have a lot of industry, so it takes me a long time. So it's one of those things that I really try to absorb as much as possible.
That's great. I mean, if there's any advice I give to anyone, just read, you know, and not flip through your phone, but actually sit down and, you know, whether it's magazines, newspapers, industry articles, everything, just read and you'll be fine.
I miss the actual newspaper. Like, I do miss that. It's everything's on.
Yeah, we all do.
I did read the journal on the plane the other day. I was like, yes, real newspaper.
It's happy and satisfying to make your way through the physical newspaper.
It's good. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And how about you, Sean? Did you, what were some of your big influences, whether that was a person or a book or something? Sure.
I think it's a tough call, because I've met, interacted with lots of people over my career. I'll reference, and I can mention a million things, but I'm going to go with one person that is more recent. And that was Michelle Bachman, who is the president of Stanley X at Stanley Black & Decker. One of the biggest things she ever did, and I've been challenged before, but she really challenged me to be a better marketer, a better leader, and to really take a focused approach to my daily, weekly, monthly activities and what I'm trying to accomplish. I have a lot of energy. I'm pretty high energy, glass half full kind of thing. She trumped me, no pun intended, sorry, and really kind of brought me to the next. She had next level, and she brought me up to her and made me a better leader and a marketer. And I'm applying that daily here at Mott. And so it's I thank her. I do talk to her weekly just to check in to make sure I'm on track.
Oh, that's great.
And she really had a real impact and gave me a lot of focus and really is a lot. And that was, you know, a few years back that I was working for her, but it's really still impacts me daily. Today.
That's great. And I'm sure you're inspiring your team as well. You do have a lot of energy and so much knowledge and experience. It's really great. Sean, if people want to connect with you or the business, where should they go?
Okay, so a couple things. Obviously, I'm on LinkedIn. I take a lot of personal satisfaction in helping people and mentoring people and giving them advice or leads or career opportunities, things like that. So please connect me with me on LinkedIn. You can send me an email too, sobrien with an E at mottcorp.com. That's an easy one as well. And I'm willing, literally, we'll spend time talking to you. If you want to talk about, you know, advice, what tactics, solutions, companies, I'm very willing and open to talk.
That's amazing. Sean, thanks for your time today. This has been an amazing conversation. You're such an inspiring individual and expert in your field. It's just been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for reaching out. And let's stay in touch.
Thank you for listening to the Radical Global Marketing Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed making it. Join us next time for more insight, best practice case studies, and shared experiences from some of the world's most radical global marketing leaders.